Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, March 20th, and we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of Faith and Family this week, which means we're talking with the KFUO family. We're going to get to some of our staff here today and their family as well and hear their stories. So looking forward to continuing that conversation. We are going to have fun in the studio today, I can assure you that. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. Click on that CUW logo. That'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Well, joining me in studio today, yes, we've all been waiting for this interview.
Where's the fanfare?
You might know him. Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, host of numerous shows here, God Whisperers, the Reformation Rush Hour, the Bible Study.
I think we're going to rename KFUO the Andy and Craig Show, and we'll just be done with it.
So, Craig, good to have you in studio today as our guest on Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good to be here, Andy.
Who did you bring with you today?
I brought my lovely wife, Paula.
Paula D'Onofrio, great to have you in the studio today.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks so much for being our guest and coming all the way from California just to be our guest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You're not in California anymore. This weather looks like California weather, though, right?
Yeah, stepped outside, so happy.
Sunny out there for once.
Yes.
Very nice.
I still wore my big winter down coat because I'm just never really sure about the weather here. Just keep wearing that down coat all the time.
Well, Craig, tell us about some of the what you do here at KFUO. You're not just a host of some of the
I'm
programs.
I'm not. I host... three and two halves programs here, I guess you could say. And I am also the program director for KFUO. And all of the programming that you hear on the radio, shows like yours, like Faith and Family in His Time, I'm the person that you complain to about all of it. So that's me. And I ultimately am responsible. So you're complaining to the right guy if you complain to me.
Well, let me talk to you about
my phone will be full of messages when I get back to my desk.
Let me talk to you about that guy on Faith and Family.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
Well, I want to hear about your family. I want to hear about your favorite family traditions. That's what we've been talking about with most of the KFUO family here. Favorite family traditions, whether they're past or present traditions. What are some of your favorite traditions from family?
You want to go Paula? First?
My family that of origin,
family of origin, past and present. So, your past family traditions, family of origin. Did you have favorite traditions growing up as a kid?
Well, one of my favorites was decorating Christmas cookies.
Yeah,
and we really went nuts with the frosting. It started when we were really little, and we have even home movies of it. And then when we got a little bit older, my mom decided to come up with awards for our cookies, like the best use of frosting. The ethnic awareness cookie, just kind of a takeoff of the Rose Parade award. So she kind of made them up based on the cookie. My mom was very clever with words. She was a librarian, and she always came up with some fantastic.
What was the best award you ever received for one of your cookie decorations?
Oh, I don't think I ever really won unless it was purposely trying to be ridiculous. So I grew up with a sister who was an artist.
Oh.
And yeah, so it's kind of hard. She always had the Jackson Pollock cookie, and you know, she knew how to kind of be creative with her cookie decorating.
Now,
so
you're an artist too. You're a musician, correct?
Yes. I my youngest sister is also a musician, and the one in the middle is a visual artist. She's a graphic designer. So we all ended up in the arts, all three of us. So,
as a musician, what's your area? What's your focus or your specialization?
I was a piano major. I have a degree in piano performance, but I also play the organ and sing as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And my career is a music educator. I'm an elementary music specialist. I say am, but I guess I should say was in California. I taught for 23 years before we moved here.
Well, if we were in the old studios, we had the piano there.
Oh.
You could have played a piece for us right there in the studio. We don't have a piano in the studio.
Oh, really?
Craig, can you work on that?
I don't remember that ever being really well tuned, though. maybe I just messed with it at the wrong time of year when back in the day when I worked at KFUO back as a young man.
As a young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Greg, what are some of your favorite family traditions? Was it decorating Christmas cookies?
Yeah. Christmas was always huge in my family, too.
Yeah.
My father would over-decorate a tree like no tomorrow. I mean, you would be amazed at what he could have done with a tree. But I would say every summer we would go fishing as a family in Utah. And we had a little piece of property next to a lake. My dad bought it as a business investment. And I think over a period of about 40 years, it maybe went up about 2% in value. So it was a great investment. But it's a piece of property right off of Stock Lake. And so we'd go up to Bryan Head, Utah in the summertime and either camp or rent a condo, one or the other. Go fishing for rainbow trout and that sort of thing. You go to a few other lakes in the area. It's just always a great time of the guys bonding and that sort of thing. And of course, being the squirrely kid that I am, you know, my dad's idea of fishing is you throw a line in the water with some floating cheese or something, and you sit there and take a nap or something,
wait for something to happen.
And of course, I always wanted to get the lures and cast, and I always make a mess out of those.
You'd be better at trout fishing then, right? Fishing?
I think I'd be better at spear fishing. If I would have just jumped in the lake and tried to stab the things, I think I would have, you know, being a hyperactive kid. But, you know, it's those kinds of things that I look back at with a lot of fondness. Mm-hmm. And as I was a kid fishing, I was bored to tears. But now I realize those were some of the greatest times.
Relaxing times, sitting around.
But eight-year-olds don't want to relax.
Right, yeah. Sure. Relaxing for your dad, except for the squirrely kids.
Except for the eight-year-old, yeah.
Well, it's funny you both mentioned Christmas, too. Now, you're the first probably to step outside of Christmas and go into summer. I think most everybody has mentioned that a lot of their traditions so far were connected with Christmas. But mine I have a lot of memories about Christmas and traditions about Christmas, but mine were also during the summer as well. But we'll get to that tomorrow. Oh. So enough about me. That's on Faith and Family tomorrow. So traditions, fishing, and you mentioned Christmas. You had some good, your dad could decorate the tree like nobody's business.
Huh? Yeah, and of course, my family motto is if anything's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. And so in line with my grandmother from Italy.
Wow.
You know, if we're going to have eight people over for Christmas dinner, we had to have enough food for about 800. And so we'd be eating leftovers through New Year's and
Epiphany.
I don't know, probably into Easter almost, if you froze it right.
I think you've continued that tradition in our family of two.
This is true. I cook for 20.
Are there traditions now in the D'Onofrio household of two plus Rufus? You didn't bring Rufus today.
We should have brought Rufus. Yeah. Rufus is, by the way, he is the official producer of The God Whisperers.
That's right.
He's been dubbed that for years. Gosh, do we have any traditions that moving about every 8 months or so? That's kind of one of our traditions. We have quite a history of moving a lot.
Yeah. We've been in the same place for a while now, but one of our traditions, this started actually before Lauren and I were married, the Easter nap.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, we do have a tradition of after church nap.
Yeah, well, now that I'm not serving a parish, that one isn't quite as well enforced as it used to be. But as you know, with most pastors, they do their morning services and Bible studies and so forth. And then they go home and crater for about 3 hours, which causes a really bad effect where they're up until 2 or 3 in the morning because they've slept all afternoon. But
I didn't participate until I started playing the organ for his church. And then I was tired, too.
Especially if you have Easter Vigil and or Sunrise service. And I love both of those services. I love both of them. I love getting to be there in the dark and then it goes to light. And I love that aspect of the service.
I just don't get it.
But then when you do 2 or 3 after that, that's a long morning.
Thanks for a long day, but it's a great day to celebrate.
By the last service, you're kind of like, he's risen. He's risen indeed.
It's punctuated by the resurrection nap.
Yes.
So, yes, so that sounds like that's been a tradition in the D'Onofrio household as well.
Yes. Andy, my theory on sunrise services is we should do it sunrise Jerusalem time.
Yes.
And so I think I figured that's about 3 PM or something like that. I think maybe on Saturday. I can't remember.
I think you did figure that out.
But my theory is you do it Jerusalem because, hey, Jesus rose from the dead, not in St. Louis, but in Jerusalem.
And get Pastor Noor to...
Right. So let's celebrate it. The time that they would have been celebrating when Jesus rose from the dead. So I like that idea a lot better. If you're out there and you like that idea too, maybe we'll start a church.
Great idea. There you go.
Yeah.
There's more material for you for God Whispers now too.
I think I've probably flogged that one.
I kind of remember that one.
Who influenced you most in your faith, whether family member or someone else? Who influenced you most in your faith? Paula?
Oh, definitely my mother and father. I grew up in the church, and I was a rascal, of course, about getting up in the morning. Craig and I have that in common. We are not morning people, but we went. I mean, Dad didn't care. He's like, get up. Go to church. And we didn't just go to church. We always went to Sunday school or Bible class. That was very important in our family. So I do go every week, you know, just because that was instilled in me growing up.
So parents were key in that faith.
Yeah, my dad was always an elder. My mom taught Sunday school, and they were active members in our Lutheran church as well.
Craig? Who was most influential for you?
My mother was good about getting us to church on a pretty regular basis. My dad, until I was older, my grandfather was a very, very harsh Pentecostal preacher. And he kind of beat religion out of my dad for quite a while, I think. And so my mother was very influential. But really, I'd say that the most influence that I've had has been since I've become a Lutheran. And kind of a surrogate father that I've had, not that I didn't have a great father to begin with, but in the faith, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, who has had a tremendous influence on me. I was blessed to live with him for a while, and just learning the gospel through this osmosis of sitting with this guy and drinking wine at Coco's and just talking about life and theology and everything else. He's been a tremendous influence on my life.
And we've had the privilege of talking with Dr. Rosenblatt on here specifically about the vocation of fathers. Well, I can see that, and I can hear that in your teaching and in your theology. I can hear Rosenblatt in what you say.
I'm very lawless, like he is. I'm just kidding.
Now, did you pick up any of your grandfather's preaching?
You know, I never heard my grandfather preach.
Really?
There was never a day that he wasn't 90 years old, I think. It seemed like he was retired when I was born. I can't remember. I just don't remember much about him actually working outside of the house. He was a phenomenal gardener, grafting plants together and all sorts of stuff. But he was a steel worker and a Pentecostal preacher. So.
And that was probably before the time of, you know, recording everything and posting it on YouTube.
Right.
So
yeah.
Wouldn't have had the videos to watch of him preaching, huh?
No. I would have liked to have heard that. Of course, his Italian accent was so thick. I always had a hard time understanding him anyway. So
an Italian Pentecostal preacher.
Oh, we're very emotional
people.
That's
loud.
That is loud. My father grew up in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and kind of on the bad side of the tracks, where it was kind of half Italian and half black. And he didn't realize that there was a difference until he was probably 12 years old. You know, so all the Pentecostals went to church together, and it was an Italian and African American congregation. And he played with the Italian kids and the black kids in the streets. He just, you know, grew up that way. Back in the 40s and 30s, that was kind of weird, but. Depending on where you lived, I guess.
What do you like about being part of the KFUO family?
Paychecks.
No, you get one of them?
Well, sometimes.
No, I'm just kidding. What do you like about it?
Yeah. We have a great crew of people here. We really do. And we look out for each other. We have a very small crew these days, and so everybody's carrying a lot of weight. But We're a pretty happy group, I think. I don't hear a
whole
lot of...
What did you say about my weight?
Bickery. Oh, look at me. Who are you talking about? But this is a great place to work because we're all interested in the gospel. We're all interested in proclaiming that good news of Jesus Christ as often as possible. And what a wonderful, wonderful life that you and I have. We get to come on the radio and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a little church in Pasadena, California. I got to proclaim it to, you know, my 30 folks or so on a Sunday. But for crying out loud, we've got potential of 4 or 5 billion people listening to us. Of course, they aren't, but we have that potential.
As I say every day when I walk in and go past the welcome desk, I'm going to wake up the world. Of course,
right.
The rest of the world is, you know, not on the same time zone as us. But I like to think that I'm, you know, here to wake up.
They're driving home in Australia when you come on or something like that, right?
Wake them up. Well, thank you both for being here and being a part of Faith and Family, being my guest today. And it's a joy to get to work together and be a part of that KFUO family with you. And I sorry we didn't get to any of the secrets about Craig today, Paul.
Another time.
I know
the
it's a disappointment.
She could tell you.
It's a disappointment to our listeners, I'm sure, not to get to hear all those secrets. Well, thank you both for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
God bless, Andy. Thanks.
God's blessings. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk with more of our staff. We'll talk with Buzz Ulrich and Reverend Mark Hawkinson right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Christy was 17 when she first got pregnant. All told, she had 7 abortions. One day, Christy was in the grocery store when she saw a woman with her young daughter. The little girl looked like an angel to Christy. She said, "When I looked at her, she stared back at me like she knew exactly what I'd done. I started having flashbacks." That was the beginning of Christy's road to forgiveness and healing. Are you like Christy, who has one or more abortions in your past? Don't know who to turn to? Who to confide in? Contact me through today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. We'll keep your information confidential, and I'll find you a free counselor who will take you through the healing process. Please, don't suffer anymore. Contact me today.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Listeners to Law and Gospel were calling in this week asking about the difference between faith and works, how God bestows on us His grace, Joel Osteen, and the Word Faith Movement. On the next broadcast, the calls can continue because it is an open mic Friday.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. It is time to continue our conversation, and we are talking with Worldwide KFUO staff. Joining me in studio right now, Buzz Ulrich. You hear him all the time here throughout the day at Worldwide KFUO. Buzz, great to have you in the studio.
Well, thanks, Andy. It's nice to come in here and not have to ask the questions for a change.
Pulled you away from some production work. Let's share with the listeners what the numerous things you do here at KFUO.
Well, you just mentioned part of it there in passing production work. The production of some of the shows that you hear on the air, the individual, I guess, the 30-second announcements like we were just hearing. Mm-hmm. Some of those are things we do. Sometimes it's the shows that get edited for broadcast or rebroadcast. as well as the music that might be performed on the air. We have to make sure that they are, I guess, under quality control. So if there was something that came through audio-wise that needs to be edited, oftentimes I'm the editor. I'm not always or the only editor, but oftentimes it'll be at least through my hands or my knowledge. But it's a nice thing to have a staff where I'm not the only one doing that.
The technology certainly has changed from when we started in radio. I know for me, it was about 20 years ago that I started in radio, and the technology was quite different then. How has it changed since you've been in radio?
Well, let's see here. I was actually recounting yesterday to some young people at the St. Louis Community College at Forest Park. We were doing a presentation for a job fair there yesterday, and I explained to them that 30 years ago, I was at Florissant Valley looking at broadcasting and getting my feet wet. And this year, I will celebrate 30 years on the air. And in that time, let's see here, we had reel-to-reels, records on the turntable, cart machines. And then a year later, we had this introduction of something called the compact disc that came along and changed things. And in the middle of all of that, we also saw computers as an avenue, and now what you hear on the air here, if a computer doesn't touch it, it's only because we actually have CD players once in a while that get used.
It's all on computer now. Yeah. So that production work that we were talking about at the beginning is you know, in the past that was recording things and mixing it down and recording things onto a reel-to-reel or some other a hard cut, like, you know, tangible device. And now it's recorded and put into a space that you don't even see. It's not put onto like a tape or anything like that. It's recorded onto a computer and it's all digital. And, but that takes, you know, a lot of time too, I guess not as much time as it used to edit things and put them on reel to reel and splicing things, marking things with a piece of paper.
It's much different from the first time I walked into KFUO, which I guess it would have been about 1985. I walked into KFUO and I did an audition tape for what was then KFUO FM. And Ron Clem pulled out a record and another record and a reel-to-reel. And we sat down in our production studio, which we ceased using just a few months ago, right before we moved here to the International Center. And we did that thing the old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. He sat there, recorded me onto the reel-to-reel, and then listened back. And that's what we did for many, many years. That was probably the standard way of recording things and editing with razor blades and tape. And I don't miss those cuts at all.
When we talk about cuts, literally, you were cutting tape. Well,
literally.
The days of technology gone by. So, well, let's get to the family stuff.
Sure.
that we're talking about this week on Faith and Family. We've been discussing family traditions, whether past or present, that are important to you. What are some family traditions from Buzz Ulrich?
Well, like everybody else on the staff, gatherings with the family, especially all the holidays and all the holy days and all part of those days were pretty much, especially the holy days, regular worship together as a family unit. And my mom, my brother and sister and I would all go to church together each and every holiday, holy day. Sometimes my dad made it, sometimes he didn't. He wasn't the deep spiritual Christian religious person that the rest of us were. It was in his life, but not to the extent that we were. Plus, also, my mom was Roman Catholic. It was a normal thing for her to go to Mass every Sunday, as she was also a church organist and eventually a choir director. So we were all there week in, week out. And that's part of the family. The other part of the family, for example, my great aunt, my dad's aunt, was a regular worshiper at her church or a couple of different churches in Alton, Illinois. And we all gathered at her house for the holy days and the holidays. We had a big table we could expand. And like I think most of the people said, food was involved. And we would have our entryway. We'd go into the kitchen to start with. We'd each have our little jobs, whether it was stirring the gravy or the corn or helping out with making the cookies, for example, setting the table, all the different things that you'd do with your family functions. And it's centered around that gathering. And usually at her house, my dad's side of the family would show up And frequently, because my mom's side of the family was from Alton as well, they would be there too. So we'd have a huge gathering. And one of the most important parts for all of us was when we all sat down at the big table, or sometimes and the little table because we had so many, my great aunt always started with prayer every meal. And that was a very big, important influence for all of us. Now, that happened with my grandmother's at my grandmother's house in Alton as well. Prayer was before every meal. And that was a tradition that I think when I look back at, 40 years ago, when things like that were normal, we didn't go out to eat very often. But when we did, there was usually still just enough time where grandma or my great aunt would say, okay, let's pray. And that was the start of things for that moment.
So family certainly has had an influence on you in terms of faith as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I was listening to you talk about this with people this week. And one of the things, and I even wrote it down to myself just to make sure I didn't forget this, grandmothers, not just mine, but others had a great influence on my faith life. Going to church, I had plenty of opportunity to be around others' grandmothers. And for a period of about 2 to 3 years, while my mom was a church organist, quite frequently I would sit with a family and their grandmother, who lived right across the street from them, was taking care of, I guess, the youngest one there. And then my brother and sister and I would be part of that as well. And she had a good influence on us as well. We had a good calming influence. And I think that's what grandmothers were doing for many of us growing up, making sure that we're sitting still in the pew and not interrupting everybody.
A calming effect. I like how you point that out, that grandmothers do kind of have that effect. I remember as a child, and I don't remember at what age it was that I realized that some of the people that I called grandma and grandpa weren't technically grandparents, weren't my grandparents, but they certainly served in that same, vocation in the sense that they were there to love on me and care for me and provide for me. It was probably like fifth or sixth grade when I realized, oh, they aren't really they aren't related to us.
Yeah.
but we still call them grandparents. So.
Isn't that amazing when you see that, though? Even now, you'll go somewhere, and if it's a public event, let's say you're at the park for a big barbecue event, something like that. You'll see the grandmothers taking the grandchildren all around and doing things, leading them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so their grandchildren and grandmothers are supposed to dote on them, but they're also an influence in how they perceive the world. And with the grandmothers that, like probably the ones we see and know that aren't ours, I'm in the German Cultural Society. I see omas and opas all the time. Omas really have an influence on how the children behave and their ethics. And I find that very comforting to know that grandmothers still, after thousands of years, a couple thousand years of influence from Jesus, still have that same calming influence. And most of them that I know very well do the same thing. They point to the faith and to the cross. And so many of them that I know right now have said to their husbands, to their children, if you're not going to help, that's fine. I'm still going to do my job, and I'm going to make sure that those kids grow up right.
Thanks be to God for grandmothers and omas.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you mentioned the German Cultural Society. There have to be some traditions there that you love.
It is. Now, let me take you back to 40-something years ago. The German Cultural Society is, and I don't know if you heard me mention it on the air last night, it's at 3652 South Jefferson, which is a block from CPH, and it's on the land that used to be the old Lutheran Altenheim in South St. Louis. They bought that land back in the 60s and still hold that land. And there was a point in time when there was actually, just like the church, a bit of a split, and a lot of the Lutherans left. So it's largely been a it's still got plenty of Lutherans in it, but mm-hmm. it's largely been influenced by the Catholic faith in that there is a traditional every year, a Catholic Mass said in German. And that's one of those things that I think for all people who've been in the German Cultural Society, they point to that as one of the highlights of the year, the Kirchweihfest. And now, mind you, the Lutherans have a good influence on that group these days, too. The German School Association of St. Louis meets St. Paul de Pere. So, and they were at Abiding Savior down on Butler Hill before that. So it's not to say that it's all one thing. Mm-hmm. You can see, though, clearly influence by their faith throughout the German Cultural Society.
So when the Germans came to this country, they certainly came they brought that faith with them.
Oh, for sure. Hmm. The St. Louis area, and look at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yeah.
What would we be if we don't have someone like a C.F.W. Walther in our history here?
Mm-hmm. Tell us, you've already mentioned how grandmas have influenced your faith. Anyone else that you wanted to share about today that's been influential?
Well, I've had numerous pastors, especially mm-hmm. since I've been here. But I grew up knowing several people who became Catholic priests. I have one friend who is still a Catholic priest in St. Louis. We see each other probably once or twice a year. In a social setting, and sometimes at his church because I was performing with an orchestra that plays at his church. And then I also have to say since I came to KFUO, there are, I've lost count how many pastors have influenced me in some way, shape, or form. I get to talk with pastors on a regular basis, mm-hmm. sometimes more than what others would even consider in a job like this. Broadcasting, you talk to pastors? Well, sure.
Right.
I talk to pastors almost daily. I have to, on this piece of paper right here in my hand, I have to call this pastor sometime today to schedule a recording session with him. I have another pastor I have to call this afternoon with a recording session with him. That's part of what we call the mm-hmm. influence, because in the conversations, no matter how much they may be aimed towards broadcasting a message, there is always something pointing to the cross. Mm. Every conversation, sure. I think, with very few exceptions, there's always something in there.
Absolutely. We get to be, here at KFUO, we are always about the cross, about proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So we always get to hear that message, which is, it's nice to be surrounded by that here. So other thoughts on what you like about being part of the KFUO family?
Well, I this is an interesting part. I talked about my upbringing, but becoming Lutheran was something that I didn't expect, although I did have friends that were Lutheran growing up. When my best friend from sixth grade moved away, I missed him, and I still miss him, but I knew he was Lutheran long before he even moved away. And growing up, I had several friends that were Lutheran, and my first serious girlfriend went to Grace Chapel in North St. Louis County. And I talk about that once in a while with Pastor Rubeck there and talk about the influence of my friends that went to church there. But when my daughter was about to start kindergarten, my wife and I were in South St. Louis City, and we were trying to find the right place for her. And my sister-in-law said, well, I'm sending my children here to St. Luke's Lutheran over here. Oh, that's not that far. Yeah, okay, we'll investigate. We went over. And they had a pre-K through 8th school at that time, and met with Pastor Dittmar, and next thing we know, we're sending our daughter to school there. And that became another faith family. I wasn't there with my daughter very long when I came to KFUO, and immediately I realized, wow, this is, I was picking up on this going to church there at St. Luke's, and this is not what we call comfortable Christianity by any means, but it was comfortable to me. It was, I get this. I understand what this is supposed to mean. I understand what, I even wrote myself a note. I understand why things out of the catechism hit home and hit my heart very well, like the sola gratia. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking as a kid, well, I know I love God, and I know Jesus loves me, and I know that He's mm-hmm. He's my Savior. As a little kid, I thought about that a lot, sitting in the pew at church. But when, as an adult, this was presented to me, God loves the people of the world, even though they, we, are sinful, rebel against him, and do not deserve his love. He sent Jesus, his son, to love the unlovable and save the ungodly. I realized, wow, that really is me. And what an incredible sacrifice. I can't even imagine. But I'm grateful for Jesus being that savior for me and for all the teachings that I've learned in nearly 10 years at KFUO.
It's interesting how the track that you were on, you know, it brought you to a Lutheran school for your daughter and then brought you to KFUO where you hear the gospel proclaimed. And what a neat journey to, yeah. and to get to share that today with our listeners.
Yeah. And to know that, I'm not the only one who's had that happen to them in life. That's pretty, mm-hmm. It's a pretty neat feeling to know that others have had that similar influence happen in their lives.
Well, we're very thankful for you here at KFUO and all the things that you do to keep this place running, and all the production work and operation type things that you do with making sure that everything is running smoothly on the board here and keeping things going for us. We appreciate all that you do. And thanks for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy, and keep it going. I think we have someone else in the wings.
I believe so. Up next, we're going to talk with Reverend Mark Hawkinson. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this.
Does the devil tell us lies about both God's law and God's gospel? We'll find out live Thursday on Issues Etc. from Pastor David Peterson. We'll continue our series on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death with Pastor Will Whedon, and we'll find Christ in the story of Moses and the water from the rock with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County, where Reverend Dennis Kasten serves as senior pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, where Pastor Tim Ostermeyer leads divine worship. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. We are continuing our conversation as we celebrate the one-year anniversary of Faith and Family. Joining me in studio now, Reverend Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance. Mark, great to have you in studio.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Andy, on your show. I've enjoyed listening to it for quite a while, ever since you started. because you have so many different guests, so very many. I enjoyed listening to Buzz there and his story of faith and what he's learned here. And I've learned a lot with my association with KFUO as well. So it's just an increasing thing over a period of time. You just get more appreciative with every day of the privilege of being able to broadcast good news, mm-hmm. about especially this Lenten season, right. of Jesus Christ.
Well, I have to say that every day at the end of my show, well, I'm certainly sad when my conversations have to end here on Faith and Family, but when I hear the music coming on for Moments of Assurance, and I know that your voice is coming in, it's always comforting, and now it's a time to relax and eat lunch and listen to Mark for a little while.
Listen to my recipe for tomato soup there.
Well, Mark, tell us a little bit about, we've been talking about family traditions, mm-hmm. in our conversations. Tell us about some of your favorite family traditions, whether past or present.
Well, my wife is, Lana, is an expert at home decorating. You don't mind me being kind of proud of her here and saying so.
Certainly.
She, at Christmas time, for example, the entire house, every room is chock full of Christmas tidbits and decorations, and we have a Christmas tree in almost every room of various sizes. I'm not talking about full size. Of course, living room would be full size, and with Christian symbols on them in some cases. In other cases, we have little animals. Our house is full of animals. We're humans that are intruding in an animal house. And it's just the way we love animals. It's just the way it is. And but one tradition is that we do everything up seasonally. And we start getting ready for Christmas. My wife does. And she plans this out. She has this recorded on sheets of paper, the design for each room, the design for a specific Christmas tree where every ornament goes and how it is all put together. And it's, I couldn't do what she does.
Meticulous.
I mean, it's, thank you. That is exactly the correct word. So one tradition we have is that we keep our home seasonal. We, you know, she'll start getting ready already in the fall for Christmas, but of course you'll have the pumpkins out for the fall and the oranges and yellows and the reds that go along with it, and decorating the outside of the home seasonally as well. And I got to give her credit. I mean, she just does a bang-up job with that, and everything's faith-related. She'll find a way to relate it to Jesus Christ and to faith and family. There you go, your show. And all of that. I will confess one thing to you that may astound you just a little bit, and that is, as of today, she is just now, she wasn't able to be here today, but I can tell you that she loves KFUO, and also that she is just today finally getting the last Christmas tree down. That's how long it takes. And it's such a. And she says, next year, we're not going to go to all this trouble. Yeah, that's right. Okay, next year comes, and well, I changed my mind. We're going to go to all this trouble. So anyway, I will say that about her is that she's very decorative, and one tradition we have is keep everything seasonal, and our house is always full of something, full of all kinds of things.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah. Wow. Now, any traditions from your childhood that you remember?
Yes. My mother would play the Messiah. Okay, we had the long playing records when mm-hmm. I was growing up, but we did have stereo. They had these big stereos that you could purchase. I remember this was back like in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. before your time. And I remember the strains of the Messiah playing Glory to God in the Highest and all these different parts of the Messiah. And while she was baking fudge, her big thing was just right before Christmas, she would do all this baking and you'd get to sample. And I remember sampling and music and fudge at the same time. You the sweetness for the palate and sweetness for mm-hmm. the soul that would come out with the strains of the Messiah in the background. And that's music has been a big part of my life. And the growing up with my father, who is an excellent baritone and bass, and my mother, we always sang in all the choirs and played various musical instruments. And my family today still plays. They all play musical instruments. And so we are a musical family. And so that's one tradition I can tell you from growing up. We also would go out and cut our own Christmas tree, you know, like that, mm-hmm. and decorate it on a certain night. We'd really wait until just before Christmas to put the tree up. After all, Advent is supposed mm-hmm. to be a season of preparation. I know some do it differently, and that's okay. I mean, it's not something you have to do or anything like that. So that would be another tradition that I recall growing up as a child, and that is just... Sunday afternoons after church, we would have a quiet time as a family. We'd usually stay home. That would be our family time. Pop popcorn, watch a football game, or build a fire if it were in the wintertime, and it would be time just to relax and enjoy and catch your breath before having to go back to school or having to go back to work or whatever. So traditions on Sunday. Also, one other thing I'd want to mention about, I want to give my parents some credit here. They're in heaven now, and I don't say God willing because I know they are. They were believers in Jesus Christ, and that's how you know. Jesus said, he who has the Son has the life. You have the one, you have the other, and that means eternal life as well. So I recall they never missed a Sunday. This is one thing that was etched in me. Unfortunately, now due to another job that I also have, sometimes I have to, due to traveling, I have to miss a Sunday, but I carry a pocket New Testament wherever I go, and then I'm able to regroup that way. But we picked up these two boys. They lived about 2 or 3 miles from us, and their parents did not want to go to Bible class in Sunday school. So we'd pick up Fred and John and Paul. There were three of them, actually. And we'd pick them up and take them to Sunday school, and that was a tradition, and it was ingrained that we would never miss, and my parents mm-hmm. never did. I have to confess a sin to you, Andy, and I think the listener needs to know that even pastors are human. I guarantee you I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. There's no question about it. Even as a boy, that sin came out. I remember one Sunday morning, I didn't want to go to church for some reason. I don't remember why. I just didn't want to. My dad had a 1953 Packard. I'll never forget it. It's just one of these great big huge tanks of a car that could bulldoze through anything. And my dad said, "You ready to go to church in Sunday school?" I said, I don't want to go today. I'll tell you what, he didn't yell. He didn't have to. All he had to do is look at me like, "You've got to be kidding." You know, like, "What did you say?" He did. He said that. "Excuse me, what did you say?" I said, "I'll be out in the car in just a minute." And that was that only happened once. And he just had to, you know, that in that sinful flesh. Maybe I just wanted to do something else. I don't remember what it was that Sunday. But don't get me wrong. I love going. I love church. I mean, there isn't anything that's more enjoyable than being able to sing to the Lord, of course, and to be able to take in His word and sacraments. That's what we call an hors d'oeuvre of eternity. That's what I call it, an hors d'oeuvre of what is to come. So.
An hors d'oeuvre, a foretaste of the feast to come.
Very That's good. Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like your parents obviously were very key in teaching you about Jesus and the faith.
Yes. That's where you mentioned, the family. It was very important. My parents... I can remember in eighth grade, my pastor at that time, I was confirmed, of course. If you're Lutheran, we normally, at least when I was growing up, we were confirmed in the eighth grade. They do it differently now in various churches, perhaps. But my pastor came up to me and he said, "Have you considered going into holy ministry?" I said, "No." And really, why would you say that? He said, "Well, I asked you to give a little devotion, and I just think that's not that I did a good job or anything, but that he just said he thought that might be something I could do with God's help." And so I had my pastor and pastors, the pastor after that one too, and my parents very, very encouraging. Without that encouragement, I doubt that I would have done it. Mm-hmm. So I think the Lord used. I look upon parents as God's representatives here on earth. That's what they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, husband and wife. I don't mean just the man. I'm mm-hmm. talking about both husband and wife. There are God's representatives for their children and or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever. But God has placed them in a position where they can be of a tremendous influence.
They're the ones given that responsibility of,
That's
of
right.
raising up children in the true faith and the one true faith, teaching them God's word.
That's right.
Partnering with pastors and the congregation. It takes a whole congregation to support them in that, certainly
takes a village to make. What's the name of that
book?
Yeah,
it takes a village. That's right. It does. It takes a congregation. Certainly, parents are key, and they're the primary teachers when it comes to matters of faith. And thanks be to God. It sounds like in talking with the staff here, parents have been very influential in most of the staff here in teaching them
very
about Jesus.
Very much so. Without them, I think just God's gifts to you as parents, no question about it.
Well, Mark, what do you like about being part of the KFUO family?
Well, number one, it's a tremendous privilege. I would use the word privilege because why should I be here? Why shouldn't someone else do what I'm doing? Because lots of people could do, the type of thing that I do. But for some reason, I'm here, and I just consider it a tremendous gift from the staff, of course, from the management here who lets me be here. I've been a privilege, and I'm not the only one that's been here quite a long time. There have been others that have been as well. I've been privileged to be associated with KFUO since 1987 in various capacities. And I mean, all kinds of different things. I was director of outreach for a while, and I was morning show host for a while. I Bible study host for a while. I did the afternoon show for a while. And so just a little bit of everything. But I have to tell you, when I experienced heaven, let me just share that real quick. Not really, of course, literally. But between 1990 and 1995, I think those are probably the most, and not that I'm not enjoying myself now, because I am, but those were the most enjoyable years because I had the best of both worlds. I was able to have the privilege of being a mission developer, starting new missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Southern Illinois District and also the Mid-South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also to have a connection with KFUO and still do programming for them. I thought, this is too good. This is too much fun. I felt guilty getting a paycheck for having fun, you know, and working hard, of course, but it was, anyway, it was just a privilege and a joy.
Well, I can relate to that. I'm one of those bivocational guys. I get to serve here. Yeah, I'm a director of Christian education, and I get to serve here, and I serve a lovely congregation in Southern Illinois District as well.
I know you do, and that's great.
Yeah, Trinity in Millstadt, Illinois, and lovely congregation there. So, yes, I see what you're saying.
Been there. I've seen, I remember going in there in the church nave. They have a beautiful, colorful, stained glass window at the top of the, don't they, above, is it above the altar? Where is that there that they have that? I can't recall exactly.
Above the choir loft.
Oh, above the choir loft. Mm-hmm. Okay. I preached there once. I can remember that. But that was many moons ago, many years ago. I'd like to mention real quickly my children.
Sure, please.
I have a daughter who lives with us, and we enjoy having her. And she also is, her name's Kristen. She is very good with music and plays the violin and the piano. And has a really strong faith in Jesus Christ. She reads the Bible all the time and discusses it, and along with my wife. My wife also is very much into theology, and I mean, you know, really, she knows an awful lot. It kind of scares me sometimes. I kind of try to keep up with her, you know. Then my other, I have Carrie as well, and Carrie's married, and her husband is very successful as a salesman, and interesting. His office is in Denver, but he lives in Washington, Missouri. You figure that one out. He does a lot of work right from, because of the computer and the internet. He's able to do a lot of his work. And then he sells diesel parts for trucks that increase mileage and power. And he's just, you know, I'm amazed. He's very, very good at it. And so he flies all over, travels all over, and his office is in Denver. So, but Carrie is also very musical, and I have two grandchildren, and Christian and Ben, and they are enrolled at Emmanuel Lutheran School in Washington, Missouri. And she also is a member at Emmanuel Lutheran, so I'm real proud of them.
Well, there you go. There, shout out to all your family, your kids and grandkids and bride. So thank you so much, Mark, for coming in today to spend some time with me and talk about being a part of the KFUO family and share about your family today.
It's so much fun to be here, and it's just a tremendous privilege. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. And coming up in a little bit, in just a few minutes, we've got Mark Hawkinson with Moments of Assurance. So listeners, stick around for that and enjoy some great music and inspiration, some great thoughts from Mark Hawkinson right here on Moments of Assurance coming up in just a little bit.
Thanks, Andy, for having me. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
God bless.
God's blessings to you as well. So coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with more KFUO staff and their families. You'll hear from, you get to hear from my family, and we're going to talk with Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, and we'll hear from Kip Allen, who works here. You hear him mostly on the weekends, but he also coordinates our World Lutheran News Digest. So I hope, listeners, that you'll stick around for that conversation as well. And it's always great. It's a joy to get to be a part of your day here with Faith and Family right here on Worldwide KFUO. I hope that you can continue the conversation. We've had so much fun with it, we're going to even extend it into next week as well, so you can hear even more of our staff. We'll catch up with Mary Schmidt, who is donor care coordinator, and also we'll hear from Jenny Williams, who manages a lot of the phone calls and is an assistant producer for a lot of our programs. So I hope you can join us for the rest of the conversation here on Faith and Family. Stick around for more, including Moments of Assurance up next.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.